Welcome to the Rick Fuller Podcast, presented by Rick Fuller, the team leader of the Rick Fuller Team, which serves the San Francisco Bay Area and the greater Sacramento region. Rick and his team have over 1,300 five-star reviews and have been honored as a distinguished small business by the California State Senate and Assembly. Rick is a community leader, national real estate coach, and real estate investing expert. Have you ever had a challenging client? You're a real estate agent, of course you have. Were you stumped at what to do? Maybe you had a home buyer who only wanted properties out of their price range. Or perhaps you had a seller who kept changing their mind on if they should sell or not. Or have you ever been ghosted and the client stops returning your calls? One of Rick's favorite quotes is, "The smartest person in the room is the room itself." So listen in to a Rick Fuller team meeting as our agents share some challenges they're facing and potential solutions that the room came up with. Take notes. One of these could be the answer for a client you have.
Let's go to the organized sales process. Hang in there. This is going to be an all play. You and I are going to do this together, okay? So what did we do last week? We talked about you and I taking your next best step. Let me just touch on what Brian said. Friends, take this stuff. Put it into place. Put it into practice. Don't let this just be entertainment. Let it be implementation. Get a yellow notepad, start jotting these ideas down, practice them, use them, check, you know, try them out. I promise you that the smartest person in the room is the room, and the ideas and suggestions we came up with last week and the ideas and suggestions we're coming up with this week, whatever they might be, will be beneficial. This is not designed to waste your time. This is not like some form of like check it off the list meeting. This is designed to literally help you take your next best steps. And I'm anticipating as a result of today's conversation, you're going to get some clients that you have into contract. All right, where are we at? Last week, Susie and Gil bared their soul to us, which we greatly appreciate because we all have customers. Yes, like show of hand, if you have a customer that's not yet a client, meaning no listing agreement, no buyer rep agreement. They're not yet a client. And we gave suggestions, ideas, strategies to help them become from a customer to a client. Today, we're taking it a step further. We're going to round third base and we're going to talk about people that you have as a client. Now, this one means that they have a buyer rep. They have a listing agreement with you, whether you're a buyer specialist or a listing specialist, and you have not yet got them into contract. And I've got four volunteers this time. Christina, go ahead and drop the screen share, if you will. I've got four volunteers this time, and we're going to have to move quick. And so I've asked some people to share about some of the clients they're working with and some of the challenges they're getting to get them into a contract, whether it's a seller who gets a buyer into contract and now we're pending, or you're working with a buyer and you just haven't found that right home and what we can do. And so I want to kick this off with Mike. Mike, you're working with Sal and Esperanza. Tell us a little bit about Sal and Esperanza. How did you meet them? And what challenges are you having getting them into contract? And then friends, we're going to brainstorm this. Okay. And I'm going to hear from each of you to participate in giving Mike some solutions, some ideas. And of course, I'll chime in too. Mike, what say you?
Well, I met him at an open house in Rock Spring over a year and a half ago. We went to market last year, but there were some things that came up. We had to pull it off the market, couldn't make it happen. So here now on the market, they're in contract. Now we're trying to move this way, move into the home out here. They're pulling the triggers on the wrong houses, going in stuff that they shouldn't be buying. I think they're overextending themselves and not taking the guidance of like, that house is listed here, but it's going to go from here. And every time, the last couple of times, it went exactly right where I'm telling them to. And okay. And then I get the, oh, we really need to get going because, you know, our house is going to close. We need somewhere to move. I get you that. I explain it to you, but here's what we're looking at. And so, you know, then we finally write an offer on it. Now they're like, well, maybe we want to look at this house over here and this house over here. I'm like, okay, what are we trying to do here? This is what you want. We've got an offer in. We're going to counter on it. Now you're going to look at something smaller, which was just like the other house that you didn't want to. So it's they're all over the place and they dial it in and then they go left. And then they go, no. Now they go right.
Hey.
I don't have any hair to pull out, so.
And we discovered on Monday that you shave it every morning.
Yep.
With a Harry's Razor. So
Harry's and Barbersaw, baby.
You want to learn about that? You got to show up at Monday Matters. But Mike, first off, major props, man. Open house year and a half ago, nurtured them into contract on the first one. Now we got to get them into contract on their purchase. Okay, what say you? What strategies can you give Mike? Now let's just kind of set the stage a little bit. Mike, is it true if we keep writing offers that don't get accepted, it's like they lose stamina? It's like the video game, you know, that little icon, and you get hit once, then twice, then three times, and then game over, right? That's a real problem that we're all facing when you're writing offers and they're not getting accepted. We're not moving them into contract. So what say you, team? How can we help Mike? What suggestions would you give him? Joe, I'm going to you, then I'm going to go to Marcos. Okay, we got to move quick, guys. Let's say you, Joe.
Yeah, sounds good. So here's what I would say, Michael. You've been with these people for a year and a half. So you've built rapport, and you've actually been through tough times with them. So I think what's happening right now, right, based on what I'm hearing from you, is they're getting clear, and then they're getting unclear quickly. And so it's almost like I think you should be talking to them about, hey, guys, this is our game plan for right now. If we need to change it, right, next week, or if we need to change it. So in other words, get them to buy in at the highest level right now, because you have that level of rapport, and just say, guys, at least we're going to run this for 3 days. Get their buy-in and their commitment and put a time base on it. Because of course they know that you're working for them. You've been working for them for a year and a half. And you may already be doing that, but I just think that sometimes it's just getting their buy-in and saying, hey, if we need to change, we will, but let's run this play up to this point. So buy-in for specific plan for a specific amount of time.
Thank you, Joe. Marcos, what say you?
In the lines of what Joe just said, so Mike, you've been working with them for a while, and they're creating a sense of urgency, right? So you need to tell them what they told you. Like, you need to get a new house. We need to get this going. Find the right one. Let's, you know, want to get it. Maybe put an escalation clause in there and win that bid. So just like with Joe, right? You're the leader of the actual transaction, and you need to just continue to point them in the right direction and bounce back what they told you, that they need to find a house soon. You want to go look at something else? That's not going to be possible, because we need to get you into a new home as soon as possible. So just continue to do what you do, and just be patient with them, but just kind of lead them in the right direction.
Good word, Marcos. And by the way, Mike is one of the best that we have at this. Okay, I want to make, by the way, Susie and Gil are some of the best, right? They step out and they give you these situations. They're doing it, but I think there are strategies that we can always do to improve, right? I can improve my strategies. You can improve yours. I love that. You know, last time we were talking, when I did the 3 weeks, remember this, of the NAR survey, what's the number one reason people move? Do you remember? It wasn't for money. It wasn't because of foreclosure. It wasn't because of a short sale. It wasn't because of a bankruptcy. Why were they moving? Number one reason, by far, wasn't even a close second, to be close to their family and friends. So I love Frank's suggestion to say, hey, guys, I know that your goals are to be next to your grandkids. I know your goals are to be next to your children. I know you want to be next to family. And in order for us to make that happen, we've got to start adjusting our strategy a little bit. Maybe we can't look at homes at the top of our price point. Maybe we got to look at homes just slightly below our price point, because they are escalating, aren't they, Mike? You know, they are going up, which, make no mistake, as a real estate professional, you want homes appreciating. How many have been with me when markets, when they're not appreciating, when they're dropping like a rock, when people's equity is evaporating like an ice cube on a hot summer day? If you've been with me in that market, you know you would much rather have a market when they buy and they step into the home, they set up their flat screen, they put up their Christmas tree or whatever they're going to do, and that home is worth more in 6 months from now than what it is today. That's a much better place for you to be in than having a conversation about why the bottom fell out of the market. Makes sense. So maybe tapping into their why. Mikey, what say you? Maybe one thing you're going to take away from this. Wait, hold that thought. Derek, going to you. Derek, I can see you, but I can't.
Okay, Derek, can you hear me now?
Yep.
Since they just are in the process of selling it as well, I would definitely bring up to their attention, when they're putting a writing an offer, is this something that you would accept? Because you're in that position where they've just accepted offers, and so they know what they would accept. So when they're putting in that offer on a home, they need to put themselves into that seller's position. It's just something that they would have accepted when they put the offer in. When Mike says that they're not coming up to the right price, or they're not with the right price, so I would ask him, is this an offer you would accept when submitting an offer?
So good, Derek. Have you seen the incongruency? Like we're a seller in one hat. We want the highest price. Then we become a buyer. And what do? We want the lowest possible price.
Yeah.
Like this inconsistency. I love that. It kind of connects with the reality of, look, you're a seller. You've experienced some of these things. This is what you're also likely going to experience as a buyer.
Yeah.
Mike, did you take away any of these suggestions? Is there anything you might refine, adjust, or move forward with? And you're muted.
Yeah, I'm kind of some of the things I was actually kind of already vacillating on anyway. So I'm gonna be a little more firm. Like, hey, look, you want to get into a house, we have to get out, or you're paying all this money. You need to stick with this, push through, ride it out. If you keep going all over the place, you're just gonna keep falling out of contract. The other side, I gotta be a little more stern. If you want to get into this home, like you said, so you don't have to pay $4,000 a month in rent back, you're gonna have to kind of take my suggestions because I have a pulse on what's going on. We're not winning because you're going your direction. I'm advising you. Ultimately, I have to follow your lead, but I'm taking your decision. We're not winning. My ways are a little bit different and you're not accepting them. And so now we keep losing.
You know, Mike, on a practical note, I've also experienced that sometimes people have to figure things out themselves too, don't they?
Like, oh, I agree. You wrote one offer.
You wrote two. Maybe you write three and they didn't work out. And it's like, okay, guys, that's not quite working. Are you open to a different approach? Like they almost have to experience that frustration. There are certain people before they're open to another solution.
Yes, absolutely. Like I said, sometimes I got to run into the door and smack their head. And then the blood starts going, wait a minute, that ain't working. Maybe I should stop. And then like, okay, let's open this door let's go to the other door.
Nariah, for you as our guest here today, that is a metaphor. Okay. That is not something we condone or believe.
Got it.
Or for any of our visitors on the call, that's just metaphorically speaking. All right. Got to move on to the next one, guys. Let's jump over to Kara. Kara, you're one of our listing specialists. We got a little different scenario. You're working, I believe, with Monita, if I'm pronouncing that properly. Monita's a client. You got a listing, but we're not in contract. We haven't found a buyer. Tell us the story.
Well, Monita, I'm sorry. I have a corgi in the background that will not stop barking, throwing her treats. So Monita came to me from ISA. She came to me in October of 2019. Rick, you and I actually spoke to her at that time. She had tenants in the property that were, she thought she was going to have to evict them. She was contacting an attorney. I finally got over to the property in January of 2020, which was right before COVID. Saw the property. The tenants had taken a black Sharpie and they had written explicit photo pictures on every single wall and item in the house. So she had lots of remodeling to do. I contacted her weekly. I got some responses from her. She just would not commit at that time. Finally, finally in the middle of COVID, I was able to meet with her again. She had some of the repairs done. I brought her comparables numerous times. She still would not commit to putting the house on the market. And so kept in contact with her. She didn't always respond to me. And so now as of the end of 2022, she put the home up for rent. The home is off of Delta Fair in Antioch, close to Los Angeles College. She was asking $3,000 a month for rent for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. Doesn't look like she was getting much of a response from putting it for rent on Zillow. She kept reducing the price, kept taking it off the market, kept putting it back on for rent. And so here we are. She has stopped responding to me.
All right.
So, yes.
First off, Kara, good job in nurturing. That's 2019. You see any pattern with what Mike said? Like, it takes a while to nurture people. This stuff doesn't happen overnight, does it?
Okay. No, exactly. And I even went by the property numerous times during this time just to create more of a conversation with her. I was calling her, telling her, hey, Monita, I want to let you know, I went by the house. This is what I saw going on, you know, this and that. So I just trying to create conversations with her. But yeah, she was tough. She's real tough.
All right. What say you? What strategies could you share with Kara so we get this home on the market?
I might say collaborate with one of the buyer's agents or the buyer's agents in general to see if they have a buyer, because I think sellers are willing to sell the property if you already have a buyer in place who may be potentially interested, and it just provides extra motivation.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a great point. And Shelby, that you know, if you come show up and you're like, I just spoke to one of our buyer's agents and they've been looking for this particular property, have you considered selling it? Can we revisit that? And there's also a lot of restrictions that are starting to take place in the city of Antioch, yes, with owning rental property. Are you familiar with that, Monita? Like, if you own a single family residence, we have some rent cap exclusions that are now in place that they weren't before. And that this might be the time to maybe not buy low and sell high, but maybe it was you bought it low. Let's trade it up for a better property. Maybe one that doesn't have an HOA, if my memory serves correctly, this one does. Let's move it up to a property that has a higher cap rate. Let's not buy low, sell high. Let's buy low and trade up our property to have better quality assets that produce more, a higher capitalization rate. These might be things that have Monita thinking a little bit different about her strategy. All right, what else do you got?
So, the ghosting, I would, you know, I know we've talked about this before. The ghosting doesn't really mean anything. I just keep giving, you know, value because at some point they break, right? So
yeah,
I just continue to do what you're doing, Kara. I'd send, you know, I might run the thing every 60 days and see if something sold around her and just send her that. Hey, this house sold. Right. This house sold. And they come back, especially to the persistent ones. Who knows when you'll sell it, but likely to do that. And you can, that's what I do till they cave.
And that's a great point, Brian. Kara, another strategy is end every appointment with an appointment. Folks, I know you're still thinking about it. How about I call you on Monday? I know you're still thinking about it. I'm going to call you in a week. I know you're still considering it. I know you're trying to get the property for rent, but let me follow up with you in 2 weeks. Like, just ending every appointment you have, every phone conversation with another appointment keeps them on track. And if you could, line them up to your Monday updates, right? Like, hey, every Monday, I'm going to give you a call. Just checking in with you. I know you're not ready. I know you have not ready to make a decision, but I will tell you, you do that over and over and over consistently, maybe with some comps, maybe with a conversation with one of our buyer's agents. The likelihood that they will decide to move forward and list, I think, goes up exponentially. All right, one more suggestion for Kara. Joe, what say you?
I'm going to say remind them of their pain, Kara, right? Remind them of the things on the walls, how they paid for all that stuff to be paid, how they were looking for a renter. And when you don't have a renter and you're looking for $3,000 a month, you're not just losing the $3,000 a month. It's everything else you're paying for that house by not having somebody in it. So I feel like sometimes it's reminding them of their pain, because if they don't have enough vision to make that decision, that you might have to remind them of that pain and tell them the full story. Like, that's the unique thing about you being with them as long as you have. You have some details to their pain that they might be like glossing over, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, I totally forgot I had to, you know, paint over all that and I had to do this. So I would just say remind them of their pain and the numbers will tell them a story.
Okay.
Yeah, if they know the numbers will tell them what to do. I so often meet with a homeowner that's renting their property. They're a landlord. And they say, well, I'm getting, in your case, $3,000 a month in rent. I go, no, you're not. You got to factor in at least the 888. What's the 888? Well, you have 8% for maintenance, don't you? Oh, yeah, I'm going to have to maintain the property. You got 8% for vacancy, don't you? Yeah, I'm going to have 8% for vacancy. You're going to pay some kind of property manager, either you're doing or you're going to hire somebody. That's 8 to 10%. So it's a 888. So you're not getting 3,000, you're getting 2,400. Now we minus the HOA, we minus your property taxes, we minus your mortgage. The numbers are very different when we utilize the 888. If you don't understand the 888, and I went through it really quick, Magnificent Morales, could you just drop that podcast into the chat box, or better yet, put it in the Facebook group after, and we break down the 888. This is how you want to view investment property. And is this really working for you? Or should we get a property that has a higher rate of return and let's move up using the tool of a 1031 exchange? And it, if you're new to a 1031 exchange, because a lot of you are newer on the call, it's easier than it sounds. It's not that complicated. It's very simple. We can do a 1031 exchange and help them get another property. Kara, did you pick out anything today that might help you in this relationship?
Yeah, I mean, I like what Shelby said. You know, my last two properties that I had active on the market had, you know, multiple offers. And so that is definitely, you know, something to share with her, and also to reach out to buyer's agents, you know, to see if they have any interest, and just remaining consistent and sending her things of value.
Yeah, don't give up. You got this. Love it. Good job, Kara. Madman Mario, you there? You're working with Kevin and Sarah. Tell us how you met them and their clients, meaning you have a buyer rep. We got to get them into contract. Where you at?
Essentially, Sarah's like my little cousin. I've known her since she was born. Her big brother was my best friend growing up. So she's like family. She's getting married, fiance. We have a great relationship, great rapport. However, they are not taking my suggestions. Along similar lines with Mike, I'm having trouble conveying what the market calls for and how it's slightly different than what they want to pay for. So we've had two offers, and I called it within 10 grand, both offers, which were significantly over what we originally offered. Another one, actually, the third one is pending, so we'll find out soon how much we were under on that one. So it's basically, I'm trying to stay between the lines and not, I'm trying to convey the message of like, look, what we're doing currently isn't working, at least the numbers that we're coming in at. How about this?
All right. Mario, by the way, how long have you been working with Kevin and Sarah?
Had the buyer rep for a couple months, but we just started looking and writing offers maybe 3 weeks ago.
When did you first start working with Kevin and Sarah, even before the buyer rep?
Before I was in real estate.
All right. Are we seeing a pattern here, folks? I mean, for those that are new, like, you know, you got Mike's been working with him a couple of years. Kara, I'm doing the math. You're going back 4 years when we started working with this. Mario, before you were in real estate, you've been in real estate 5+ years, right? Like, so my point is, if you don't have these customers yet, if you don't have these clients yet, stay the course, because some of them don't happen until you nurture them for a period of time. Okay, what advice would you give Mario? How can he communicate this message and hopefully his clients become receptive? What say you?
Can you guys hear me?
Go ahead, Eileen.
Hey, Mario.
What's up, boss lady?
My suggestion is sometimes I feel like the people that you know the best are the hardest to work with. Believe it or not, family, friends, they're sometimes the hardest people to work with. So my suggestion would be that you educate them really, really well on the process of buying a home, because for the most part, they're like, I want to go 10,000 under this asking price. How do you convince them that you're trying to win this home over and 10,000 is not, you know, is not a big deal with you expanded in 30 years, right? So only way for to really get that trust from family or people that really know you well is to educate them, show them that we have an appraisal in place, right? You have an appraisal contingency there. We're going to get in there, get our foot in the door, and we could possibly renegotiate once we're in that position. But let's win this over and kind of show them instead of tell them, because a lot of the time when it's people that you know that good, they're not hearing you. They, you know, they think that, you know, they know better, or they think you're going to give them a better deal than somebody else. So really educating them on and showing them what the market is doing and showing them what could happen if we do get in. You know, a lot of them are afraid. Well, I don't want to pay $10,000 more than what the house is worth. Right. So you don't want to go in so high on a price. But if you show them what a house right next door, you know, sold for, show them what could happen when the appraisal comes in short or if an appraisal comes in high, and kind of show them all that educational part of it, it could help you with a better offer.
Well said. That's a very insightful comment. I can think back in my early part of my career working with family. And they'd say, I didn't know you were that serious. I didn't know that you were that professional. They're just used to me playing around with my nieces and nephews. They don't think of me at that stage in my career as the real estate professional. Now I'm giving them guidance and advice, and they're giving me a harder time than somebody I had never spoke to before. Someone I met on Zillow or at an open house. It's a very key concept. Sometimes it might be helpful to share an article, share some third party, to share some stats, to share a CMA, or to say, hey, let's get in a car today. And Mike, I was thinking about you with this one. Let's tour some pending homes. We're just going to drive by them because that one's pending 10,000 above. That one just sold for 20 grand above. That one just sold for 40 grand above. Like starting to paint the picture. Nobody wants to be the person that writes the offer way above market without knowing what other people are doing. So maybe expose them to some of the homes that have sold and how much they went over the list price in that community. Derek, what say you?
I'm not sure. So Mario, is their motivation their mortgage rate, or are they just stuck on the price?
They're getting married, so they need a house in the next few months, but they've done pretty well saving up a lot of money. And so their concern is, so we were getting severely outbid in Concord. We're now in Brentwood. And now their understanding or decision is that they don't want to go over asking because it's not Concord. So they're having trouble just relinquishing their money.
Okay.
So to speak.
So are they set on a mortgage though? Or do they have an ideal mortgage that they don't want to go over? Or is that kind of open?
That's pretty open. I mean, they have their limit. They're just not willing to come in at their highest and best when the market calls for it. After seeing comps.
Okay. Because I would, in that situation, I would say whatever you're going to offer at the price that you're going for, I would show them what the mortgage is. Mm-hmm. What would the mortgage be on that point? Because that might be a determining factor for them once they see, okay, well, we're going here, but our mortgage is only going to be this. So that might make them more comfortable with going over that price if that mortgage is comfortable for them. So I would definitely discuss mortgage. And then if you want to go higher than that, I would point out and say, if you want to, you settle on a mortgage where they want to be. And then if you want to go a little higher than that, say 10,000 more, show them the difference in mortgage, because a 10,000 on the mortgage is going to be about $100 more a month. So you might be able to say, hey, well, if we go here, this is only going to change your mortgage to this. And so my experience with clients, a lot of times mortgage is very important to them. And so if I can play with that mortgage and show them where that's going to be, or if, you know, that helps me to get the price that I want them to offer. And then if that doesn't work, another thing I would, since they don't want to go up to those prices, I would start at a lower price point. If they're not willing to go to those price points, I would say, well, hey, we need to start looking at prices that are start here. And that gives us more flexibility, because if they're already looking at houses at their max, but then they don't want to go over that, you're never going to get anywhere. So I would start lower, look for something under their max. Then you might have more flexibility to get them to go up.
Derek. Brilliantly said. Boy, would you own this home if it cost you an extra $100 a month?
Is it worth it to you?
Yeah. I got to move on. Mike, do you have something real quick?
Yeah, I have another thing I've actually used is Gopher homes in their price point that they're thinking of that have been sitting on the market for a while. Go show them the ugly. Go show them the overpriced duds that are sitting for 200 days. You'll find them out there. And now they go, oh, yeah, you can get this for under list. What do you think?
When you show them ugly, you know, bad doesn't really look that bad anymore, right?
Nope. I always try when I
look at carpet really isn't as bad as I thought it was.
Well, I always try and pick one in there, and I try and go the good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right. There you go, Mike.
I have one quick nugget for you, Mario. I realize that in this country, when one person does something, everybody wants it and everybody wants to do it. One of the things that I've always done is I've reached out to the agents. And if I get a message back from that agent that says we have 10 offers or we have 6 offers, I screenshot it and I send it to my client. And I'm like, here you go. There's 10 other people who want that same dream home that you want. So what are we going to do to win this over?
Brilliant. Here's another suggestion, Mario. Ask them, how long do you plan to own this home? 5 years, 7 years. Run comps 5, 7 years ago. Do you think it would have made a difference 5 years ago if you paid an extra 10 grand for this property? you think it would have made a difference if you paid an extra 20 grand for this property 7 years ago? You plan to own it for 7 years. Would it have made a difference if you made, if you bought it at 350 versus 360 under today's market value? Most people are going to say probably not. Mario, did you pick up anything?
Definitely.
Some nuggets, some suggestions, some tools,
several resources. Several nuggets.
All right, guys, put this stuff in play. And not just Mario, not just Mike, not just Kara. Like, this is the conversation as the whole. Everyone write down a strategy to help you take your next best steps.